Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. I am loving knowing that we have a beautiful listener base out here all across the world, actually. I am one of over 40 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network, and we actually come to you each and every day on three different networks to inspire, encourage, and challenge each one of you with different topics on relationships, on work-life balance, on healthy eating, you name it. There's not a subject that we don't talk about here on Life Coach Radio Network. You are listening to me on the Life Coach Radio Network channel. We also have a chat channel where three or more coaches come together each and every week to talk about hot button topics that our listeners are faced with and focused on each and every week. And we also have International Life Coach Radio. We have coaches from as far away as India and England and as close as right next door to you. And so I'm super honored to be part of this network and very much appreciate the fact that I've been doing radio now for, golly, a year and a half. I have had my show, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And for those of you who have continued to tune in and listen to us here on the network and participate in my radio program, my heartfelt gratitude for each one of you for tuning in on the first and third Thursday of every month is when I come to you. And I just love being able to interact with our radio audience. And I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. I am a certified professional coach with a specialization in working with those whose lives have been impacted by adoption. So I have designed a unique heirloom coaching process. And I really believe that that is the missing thread within the tapestry of adoption. Currently, I am offering up some free life coaching opportunities for those who have been impacted by adoption and their hearts touched in that area. So if you are an adoptee, a birth mom, or an adoptive mom, I would really strongly encourage you to reach out to me and find out more about these free group coaching sessions that I am offering up to our community. You know, my business name is Legacy Now Lived, and I really have a strong belief and a desire to equip and empower others to realize that we every day are living our legacy. It's not something that we leave, it's something that we live every day. And I would love to connect with you and find out more about you if that resonates with you in any way. So as I said, I am a coach, I am a reunited adoptee, I am a mom, and I am super privileged right now to come to you live from my studio, which is somewhat portable. And I am here in Phoenix, Arizona with my lovely daughter and her husband and their sweet puppy, JC. And I am here helping them move to this area. And so I love being a mom, even though I have adult kiddos. It is my passion and my heartbeat to be able to spend time with them. So big shout out to my daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Keith. Congratulations on your big move and starting new jobs in a new community. And how fun is that, that we are going to talk today on Walkie Talk with Leanne all about healing your relationship with work. And how fun is it that we have a special guest with us today to talk about this very topic. My friend Roberto is joining me today. And Roberto and I have met multiple times. We are both residents of the state of New Mexico. And I met Roberto through our coach training program and through the International Coach Federation, which is an accreditation that he and I both are members of. And we meet every month as a group in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and share ideas and inspiration with each other. And I really enjoyed my relationship with Roberto, learning from him, and just getting to know him as a person, as well as a professional coach. Roberto has some unique qualities that you're all going to want to really tune in and listen as we talk about healing our relationship with work. He has more than 25 years experience in event production and organizational leadership. During that time, he honed his skills as a trainer, facilitator, and a coach. He has a Master of Arts in Business from the California Institute of Integral Studies and an undergraduate degree in communications from Emerson College. And, you know, one thing I really appreciate about Roberto, for one, he's an incredible listener. He's a fantastic coach. And Roberto is a guy who doesn't like to stay stuck. And that's why I wanted to bring him on the show today. You know, as those of you who have been spending time with me here on the radio, you know that I love to chat with people who are walking their talk, who are living a life of integrity and really trying to make a difference in their sphere of influence. And I see Roberto as a man with those qualities. And so if you would like to speak with Roberto or myself, Leanne Parsons, please feel free to call in at 646-716-9397, and I can bring you into the queue and you can chat with us. So without any further ado, welcome, Roberto, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really excited. We've known each other for just about a year now, and you know, I've known about your show, obviously, and you know, we've been talking about, you know, finding time for me to get on your show, and so I'm really excited with both of our busy schedules that we found the time for me to be on your show. So I'm really excited to be here and to speak with you and your listeners, and thank you for that wonderful introduction as well.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, it's super great when we can pool our resources together. You know, I work within the adoption community and work a lot with women on empowering them and helping them to leave their legacy and really walk their talk. Because a lot of us, Roberto, whether we're in the workplace or at home, we can say a lot of things that we're going to do tomorrow or next week, next month, next year. And, you know, I was at a place in my life, Roberto, where I was saying a lot of things I was going to do and I really wasn't doing them. And I was living in that vain imagination place of, oh, yeah, I'm totally walking my talk. And I had a couple people challenge me on that. And it really led me on this journey to seek others who are like-minded with me and really want to make a difference in this world. And, you know, I'm super glad that we were able to connect. And when we think about our relationships and our relationships with our jobs and our careers, those are pretty impactful because we do spend a tremendous amount of our time with our work. And so when you and I were chatting before coming live today, Roberto, this topic kept coming up about healing your relationship with work. And that's kind of an area that you have devoted some time and energy to and have a real passion to encourage others with.
Yes, it is. And it's one of those things, Leanne, where I think it's something, and the reason I even talk about it that way in terms of healing our relationship with work is because, as you mentioned, we all work, and actually as adults, we spend most of our waking hours at work or doing work or some activity related to how we earn a living. And so we spend most of our, you know, time doing that, even more time than we spend with our families and with our communities, which is an interesting concept to think in itself. but what I was going to mention right now is one of the things that really kind of inspires me to want to support people in healing their relationship at work is because the statistics show and a lot of research and recent research shows that it's between 85 and 90% of the workforce expresses that they are, you know, suffering from work-related stress, and in many cases, overstressed and overwhelmed with work. And that percentage includes even the people who enjoy their work or feel like they're in the right job for them, and it's a nice match and all those things. So we're not talking about people who may not be enjoying, you know, the work they're doing or the job or issues, you know, with the organization. You know, really out of all the entire workforce, again, including people who love what they do, the majority of people are feeling stressed from work, and in many cases, overstressed from work. So that's kind of one of the things that made me start looking at just even our whole approach to work, or what I consider our relationship with work. And as human beings, the way we think about work, the way we give our time and attention to work is often not very healthy for us individually. And if that's true, it's not going to be healthy for us collectively and in our immediate circles, like our family and our community. And ironically enough, we're not going to be even the most productive and, you know, effective workers if we're, you know, in a constant state of stress. So I feel like it's a really important topic and an issue, especially in this day and age with our ever-quickening pace in you know, the society that we live in terms of the technology age. You know, everything's just super fast, a lot of information. Our technology allows us to stay connected to work 24/7. And so it's even more important now, more so than ever, I think, for us to really look at, you know, what is our relationship to work? How do we view it? How do we interact with our work activities and our work thoughts? And what things can we do to make it a more healthy relationship?
Ooh, I love that. I'm all about healthy relationships. And it takes a tremendous amount of effort and focus in order to create that, right? Whether it's a relationship with a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend or with our work. You know, Roberto, as you were sharing, it made me think about not everybody comes into work with the same level of engagement, just like any relationship, right? If we're going to be focused on a healthy relationship with work and healing our relationship with work, we need to look at what level of engagement we desire to bring to the table. And also, what is our motivation for getting there? And what is our passion each and every day when we show up? Because there, as you shared, if 85 to 95% of employees are experiencing a tremendous amount of work stress, or another statistic, Roberto, that I have heard is that about 90% of the people that you would typically poll on an average everyday basis would say that if they could, they would leave their job and find another. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty bold statistic. That's a lot of us walking around, kind of being tired of our work, stressed out, unmotivated, and really that produces a tremendous amount of, oh my goodness, carelessness in the workplace and a lot of employee turnover. And so, you know, there are a lot of reasons why we might be stressed out at work or unhappy in our work relationship and why it would need healing, right? And when we look at that on how to be happier in our jobs, how to be more healthy, more engaged, and more productive at work, what is the first thought that you have, Roberto, on why is that going on right now? Why are almost 90% of the people ready to check out?
Yeah, and that's an interesting statistic, as you mentioned, too, because that's a large amount of the workforce. And just imagine if everyone were to follow through and take action on that, you know, the turnover rate is, that's just incredibly high. And a lot of people moving from job to job and organization to organization. And, you know, the first thing I'll say in terms of answering your question is that this notion of healing our relationship to work is an inside-out job. And what I mean by that is we have to start with ourselves and inside of ourselves. And as you kind of alluded to, what inspires us to, you know, get up every day and go do the work we do? How do we feel engaged with that activity of work that we're doing? Because another thing, and this comes up a lot with the clients that I work with, and especially the ones who are expressing that feeling that that statistic you just shared points to in terms of wanting to leave their work, that it's one of those things, if the internal kind of processes and feelings and thoughts and inner motivations that one has aren't looked at and aren't in alignment with even who we are as a person at our core, then moving jobs or changing work isn't necessarily going to change. And I'm sure you find this, you know, and this is also common in other relationships. You know, you talk about couples who are so often looking to maybe get out of a difficult relationship. Well, if the work isn't done internally to heal some things that may be going on within ourselves, we often go to another relationship and find the same issues. And it's the same thing with work. So that's not necessarily always the answer in terms of changing the job to feel more engaged with our work. So that's why I say it's a you know, inside out job. And so to answer your question more specifically, what I look at, you know, for myself and again with the clients I work with, is to really, you know, one, just take some time, put some attention into connecting what it is that, or who we are at our core and at our essence. You know, the name of my business is called Vision Bridge. And the reason I have that name is, as I like to say, is what I'm talking about here in terms of connecting to who we are at the core. One way to do that is to really think about what is the vision we have for ourselves and our lives. And you know, that's obviously a wide open question, but in the process of answering that question for ourselves, we really get to connect with our values. We get to connect with what's important in our lives, and in kind of creating that vision for the life we want to live and experience, we do connect with our core essence of who we are as a person. And then just going back to my business name, then what I like to do is help people kind of connect to that vision, and then I will act as the bridge for them to cross over to realize that vision. But to answer your question, it starts with connecting with who we are at our core. What is the essence of who we are as a human being? And that, like I said, needs to be done before any moving and shifting jobs and companies takes place. Ideally, I think, because again, it may not always be necessary that a change of scenery is what's needed.
You know, I really like that you brought up the word values, Roberto, because that I think is super important. Oftentimes the conflicts that we have in any relationship, whether it be with work or our personal relationship, it's because our values are colliding. They're not in alignment in some way. And then dissatisfaction is bound to take place. And so in the workplace, if your boss or your bestie at work or your mentor or your main report, if their values or the company's values are not in alignment with yours, it's going to have the potential to make you pretty unhappy in your job, because you feel like you can't really be you at the core of who you are, like you said, at your essence. And, you know, another thing that I wanted to kind of point out is oftentimes people want to leave their work because they don't feel valued. People don't see them and they don't appreciate them for who they are. And they're looked at someone who can take care of the urgent, but not be productive in producing the creativity and the juice, so to speak, that keeps everything moving in a way that brings a gift to a company. And so when we think about that relationship with work and our values, our core values, as you so aptly put, those are really important to get in touch with that, because we're going to be loyal if we're living our values. And we're going to be super productive when we're passionate about whatever mission we are challenged to embark on. What do you think of that?
Yeah, one of the things that you said that is important to me is getting in touch with our values. And I think that's, again, like a first step piece, because many of us don't think about our values. I mean, we have them. We know kind of intrinsically what may be important to us and you know, what really fuels us. But without that exploration, we're not always clear on them. And so if they're fuzzy, when there is a kind of a conflict of values, say in the workplace or any other relationship, not even knowing that doesn't allow us to even respond from our own values. And so in the workplace, often what will happen is, yeah, maybe there is a values clash taking place. And again, if the employee isn't in touch with what their own values are, then one, they can't speak out or even just make a stand for their values and what's important to them. And then they may also just go along with what's, you know, being asked for them or what's taking place because they're not in touch with their values. So I think you're right on. It's important to get in touch with those values. And then the other thing you mentioned in terms of being valued or feeling valued by an employer or organization. Yeah, that's definitely certainly a part of the equation. And, you know, I like to explore some of that, those issues in the consulting side of my work, because that is definitely more of an organizational issue and, you know, organizational culture and issue in terms of, you know, how is an organization, you know, communicating with their employees? How are they showing value for them and for their contributions? Another thing that has inspired me in terms of this kind of orientation toward healing our relationship to work is because I think, you know, we have centuries of kind of a work value that has some roots in the Protestant work ethic, but that's not the only place, but just some long-held traditional approaches to work where, you know, for centuries, the worker was almost, you know, kind of encouraged, and we were raised, even in I think in our current generations, to kind of give up ourselves to the employer. And then on the other hand, the employer would take all the power and, you know, kind of have the authority to, you know, push the employee and worker wherever they wanted to. And I think we're still operating in some outdated values about work and how work should be approached, and certainly some practices and principles of how we as individuals approach work and how organizations also see the workforce that are just outdated and not really healthy for who we are as a society today.
Ew, I love that you brought that up, Roberto, just about how we view our work and how employers view their companies and how they view their employees. Let's talk a little bit about that, if we could, about what are some of the misconceptions and what are we not doing well when it comes to, you know, like you said, some outdated beliefs or some outdated practices that really prevent going to work with ease. You know, as I'm thinking about some of the comments that I have heard over the years about work, you know, there's things that, like this, oh, there's things about my work I absolutely love, and then there are things that drive me absolutely crazy. And then there is the whole thought of, you know, maybe being over at company XYZ would be better than being at company ABC. And perhaps the grass is a little bit greener across the street than it is where I am. And so, you know, I also hear the thought of, I don't like walking by the water cooler and hearing all the complaining. Everybody's so impatient and the demands are constant. And everybody wants something yesterday. And so I don't have time to fully prepare and be my best at work. So when you hear me share all that, Roberto, what are you hearing in that, in your expertise around this whole idea of healing our relationship with work?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of things, and there's so many different directions we can go there. I think one of the last threads I'll pull on that toward the end there, you talked about, you know, just the pressure, the time pressure that we feel and not having enough time. You know, certainly, again, our modern time and what technology has done to speed up our lives is contributing even an added pressure even to the traditional views of work, where everything is kind of, you know, wanted almost yesterday. You know, we just live kind of in a, you know, an immediacy world. You know, it's you don't even have to wait for the evening news anymore to get your news, because your smartphone could be delivering headlines to you instantaneously. And, you know, and then all those social media channels are also kind of places where information and news is being shared. So everything is really just accelerated, and that is happening in the workplace, and it is one of those factors. So, yeah, certainly one of the things I like to talk with organizations that I work with about is acknowledging that things are faster and there is a time pressure. And for me, you know, life is most healthy when there's a balance. And kind of trying to even mirror what happens in nature, where nature knows how to balance things out. Even some of the really kind of clear examples, like, you know, there's night and day, and we both have a balance. You know, we as human beings, we need, you know, sleep as much as we need our waking. And so I think it would be helpful for organizations to, you know, institute those times where there can be some space for either, one, just some downtime, and not downtime completely. You know, I don't think we're going to have nap times in the office. But certainly not try and schedule every single hour of the day with meetings or activities, which I see so many organizations do. And I've worked in some of them where, you know, from the time you start work to the time you're officially done, you're in a meeting every hour. And it just makes it impossible to do any other type of work. So making space for a little breathing and a little conversation and reflection to take place. I think that is possible. And there are some companies and organizations out there who are integrating some of that into their you know, work processes. But going back to even some of the other kind of outdated modes and principles, one of the ones I like to reference to, and I see more of it shifting now, but certainly early in my career, it was a very strong principle of just this notion of even, you know, separating who we are as a person from what we do as a worker. And, you know, it's almost like the kind of the analogy back to the, especially during the Industrial Revolution, but any place even now that still has time clocks, it's like you punch into work and you punch out of life. That was kind of the expectation that both the worker and the organization have. You know, the worker would kind of feel like, okay, I'm going into the office. I have to be just this role of whatever my work responsibility is. And then the organization would have this expectation of, okay, now the worker is mine for, you know, the time that they're on the clock. And there's almost like a disconnect from the human being that was encouraged in our traditional approaches to work. And like I said, I've seen some of that change, and there are some new and innovative kind of approaches to organizational dynamics that are being cultivated. But some of those same principles still live on in terms of the consciousness and the psyche of organizations and people.
Absolutely. You know, we are more than our work. You know, when I'm at a social gathering, Roberto, I would rather ask somebody about who they are than what they do. But oftentimes the practice that gets instituted is, what do you do? Why do you do what you do? Where did you go to school? You know, I live in a community, Los Alamos, New Mexico, with the highest PhD concentration in the nation. And I remember when we first moved there, the question that we got all the time was, well, where did you do your postdoc? Or, you know, where did your husband do his postdoc or whatever? And it's like, whoa, 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 time out. I'm more than my work. And, yeah. You know, yes, they are woven together. But when that is the primary focus, and when we've lost that conscious place, right, of we are more than our work, that there are human beings in the equation here, and we have this 95% of your day needs to be so productive that you can't breathe. You know, what happened to that 80-20 rule, Roberto, where, you know, we have a 20% downtime when we're at work, that 80% of our time we're going, but then we have a 20% time to refocus, to breathe, to give ourselves hydration, right, and nourishment, because that is a huge part of what keeps the brain clear and really our focus and our energy up. And I think we miss some of that in the workplace today, and that is why we can have a hurt or injured relationship with our work because of those things. And so, you know, another point that you and I had talked about, besides that work-life balance and how important it is to have some of those strategies in place to do that, was, you know, leadership in the workplace is not just for the boss or the person who's in charge, the mentor, but we have a responsibility as an employee, as an entrepreneur, wherever we are in that ladder with our work, to be a leader ourselves. I would love it. You know, we are at the bottom of the hour already. In the next half of the hour, Roberto, I would like to talk about more about that self-leadership and how we can, you know, real actively start healing our relationship with our work. You know, we've talked a lot so far in the first half hour about work-life balance, about how so many people would leave their job, about how there is that negative view. And, you know, you spoke at the beginning that healing our relationship with work is an inside job. And we spoke so far on values, how they can clash or how they can complement each other. And just that identity that we can get from our job. And so if it's okay with you, after I do a brief commercial for our radio network here, I would love it if we could chat more about self-leadership and that how we have a responsibility as an employee to show up a little bit different and embrace the challenges that our work can present. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I'd love that.
All right, fantastic. So here we are. We are halfway through our program today on healing our relationships with work on Walk Your Talk with Leanne here at Life Coach Radio Network. I'm so incredibly encouraged by our talk so far here with Roberto. If you would like to call in and chat with Roberto or myself, Leanne, please dial in at 646-716 9397, you will be prompted if you would like to be brought into the studio by pushing a 1. I will see that and bring you right into the studio, and you can chat with us or ask us a question or share your thoughts. Perhaps you have a story on how you have embraced your values and healed your relationship with work. We would love and be honored to hear from you today. As I said earlier, I am Leanne Parsons. I am one of over 40 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network. We have shows each and every day here on 3 different networks. And I want to encourage you, bop on over to our website, which is lifecoachradionetwork.com, and learn about our coaches here. We have a wide variety of coaches from all over the world who would love to connect with you and inspire and encourage you to live the life that you were created to live. So I want to encourage you to jump on over to our website. Also, you can jump onto my website, thewalkyourtalkcoach.com, if you have any questions about the work that I do or the folks that I love to interact with. I invite you there as well. In addition to that, my show is Walk Your Talk with Leanne. I appreciate bringing folks onto my show who are walking their talk, who are making a difference in this world. I have had authors and speakers. I have had the very famous and the not so very worldly famous, but they're all famous in my heart and in my mind on my radio program. You can find more about the shows that I have archived on iTunes on my website under the Archived Radio Program tab, and I invite you to listen in there. And if you know somebody who is walking their talk that I have not met yet, I encourage you to reach out to me and be a connector for us, because I would love to continue to get to know people all around this world who value integrity and who value making a difference in this world. So please encourage them to reach out to me. Also, I just want to encourage you to take a look at our One Life or One People, One Love Kindness Challenge that we started at the beginning of February here on Life Coach Radio Network. There were several of us that participated in this 10-day challenge, and we saw a ripple effect of kindness penetrate our local communities as well as worldwide. If you'd like to know more about that, you can find out more on our website and on our Facebook page. And you can jump in and do this kindness challenge at any moment. You don't need to start it when we did back at the beginning or middle of February. You can jump in anytime and make a difference in your local community. So I wanted to put a plug in for that. Also, for those of you who are in the New Mexico area, I am a sock ambassador, which means I am collecting socks for the homeless and the needy within the state of New Mexico. And I have a collection basket at my office. If you'd like to know more about becoming a sock ambassador or how to donate socks for the homeless or the needy, please reach out to me as well. So without any further ado, we're back to our show here on Life Coach Radio Network, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And I am joined today by Roberto. And Roberto has a passion and a desire to help people reduce their work-related stress, become more effective and productive in their work, and encounter a more fulfilling life. He's extended this approach to us here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne today. We're talking about work-life balance. We're talking about values, and we're talking about leadership and being a quality employee or entrepreneur, being an inside job. So, Roberto, we're going to head into the second half of our program here, and I would love it if you could launch us into that beautiful talking point about leadership in the workplace, whether you are in a hospital. I work a lot with nurses and doctors in the healthcare well-being department with cancer survivorship and that type of thing, as well as adoption education. And oftentimes we are waiting, Roberto, for somebody else to take the lead, somebody else to come up with a creative idea. How true is it that we need to wait for somebody else to do those things?
I would say that it's not so true. There are certain cases and situations. I would say that it's a situational thing, but is definitely not the default assumption to make that we always have to wait for someone else. And right before the break, you were alluding to the concept of self-leadership. And I think it's one of those things where this is a really important part of this whole healing our relationship with work, where, being leaders in our own lives is also part of that, beginning part of the healing that needs to take place in terms of how we have a better and more healthy relationship with our work. And when I talk about self-leadership, it really means, as you were kind of saying, that term of waiting for someone else is definitely not a position of leadership. And again, it's good to start these practices in our own lives every day. So, being a self-leader, what does that look like outside of our work lives? Well, even just, managing the logistics of our household, depending on, it doesn't matter how big or small our families are and, where we live, there's just a lot of variables that we have to deal with every day. And again, especially in the modern world we live in today, there are more variables than our parents or grandparents dealt with. And how do we stay on top of those if we're not the ones leading them? If we're waiting for someone else to take care of something that we can take care of ourselves. And this is one of those opportunities where we cultivate a practice in our daily lives that we can then apply more easily at work. It's like building a muscle. And again, it could be any simple thing. We often may even, if we have a goal for ourselves personally around exercise, we may wait till we find that, personal trainer or that workout buddy to do this. There's all kinds of things we will wait. Or even at the top of the show, you talked about the whole, waiting till tomorrow. We'll wait till we have more time. And we can, all of these are ways to kind of push off to the external forces in our lives, time and people and circumstances, when we can, take charge ourselves and be a leader. So why not start that exercise program, for example, right now, ourselves? Get up and move. It doesn't have to be exotic and fancy at first, but if you feel like you need more exercise, you're not getting enough, start moving, start walking, start riding a bike, do something simple that doesn't take a gym membership, that doesn't take having a personal trainer, and then build from there. And I say all that again to kind of, emphasize that we need to practice and cultivate these activities and these ways of being in our daily life, so that when we do show up at work, we already have this sense of being leaders of our own lives, and it is connected to, again, the topic at the top of the talk around values. It's when we're taking responsibility for our own lives, leading the activity of our own lives, and connecting it with values and what we value most, then when we are at work and there's a situation that needs, our best selves, our own internal leader will be able to do that readily and without hesitation.
Right, I love that. And you know what else is coming up for me when you were sharing that, Roberto, is the fact that we all need to work. We all need a job. We have bills to pay. We have mortgages. We have car payments. Right? So for those of us, unless we have this huge inheritance, and I'd love to talk to people who have that and haven't had to work, I'd love to hear their thoughts on how they lead their own lives in that arena. But, for probably 95% of us walking this planet, we have to put forth an effort to have a career, to have a job, so we can make money to pay our bills. How we approach our work, our attitude about it, what we think about it, what we, the energy that we bring into it, the passion, the emotions, the thoughts that are wrapped up about how we feel about jobs. The word job sometimes makes people's blood curl, right? The word work makes people's blood curl sometimes. And, but you know, it is a necessary blessing and a gift to have a job. That's one perspective, right? Another perspective right. could be, I have to work because I am in debt. And so there's a lot of energy behind those two different approaches to work. And when you were just sharing about that personal leadership and about taking some responsibility, remembering that we are of choice, we talk a lot about that on my radio program with many of the hot button topics that I bring to the forefront here on Walk Talk with Leanne Roberto. We talk a lot about being in a place of choice. And, you know, no matter what your age is, I think it's 14, you can start working. 12, you can start babysitting. My goodness, I started sweeping a store floor when I was 11 and a half years old back in Minneapolis. I had a job. I made about 50 cents an hour sweeping a floor. And, you know, I just think about all these different jobs that we have through life. And a lot of it is our head in the game with this, or are we looking at it with a more I have to perspective than I get to or I want to? And it is a gift to have a job. So many people can take their work for granted, and I can imagine that that can produce a hurt or an unhealthy view of their work. What do you think about that?
Well, I love that you brought that perspective up, Leanne, because I have a tagline that I like to use. Well, it's not exactly a tagline. It's a quote, and you know, I use it in my email signatures. It's on my homepage of my website, that work is love made visible. And it's a quote that comes from Khalil Gibran, who you know, is a writer and a poet from you know, the last century. And you know, it's a simple quote, and it really is so profound to me in terms of like, work is love made visible, because really just the activity of work, when we do it, you know, from a place of love or caring, you know, if love is too big a word, but if we care about, you know, what we do when we're doing it, then it's a real opportunity to express ourselves fully, no matter what it is that we do. You know, and what made me think of that is yeah, like you said, the notion that many of us carry around with that we have to work. You know, just having that mentality of we have to work kind of opens up the whole relationship we have with our work to feel like a burden and to feel like this is, you know, interrupting, you know, our lives or something. And, you know, it's, you know, the activity of work is if we go back to even just our earliest times as human beings on the planet, you know, obviously we were just getting ourselves sorted on the planet and trying to figure things out, and the population wasn't as big, and there were more basic things to figure out in terms of how to just get food and shelter and stay warm. But those activities of work or what we did daily were certainly much more closely related to, you know, those basic needs. And they also work related to the community's needs and everyone being able to, you know, have food and shelter and warmth. So a lot of, you know, the early evolution of work was, you know, related to the community and, you know, and what we did, you know, with our skills contributed to a greater good. And I think that, again, as we've evolved and as the way work and organizations have evolved, especially, and I referred to it earlier, there was a major schism during the Industrial Revolution that just, you know, put workers in one box and, you know, the organization in another box, where it disconnected us from that notion that, you know, that work is love made visible. And, you know, one more thing I want to say about that, I can't remember, you know, the story or the parable that it comes from, but there's this story that I heard, you know, long ago that has stuck with me throughout my adult life, that, you know, even the street sweeper, who to most of us, if we look at that, it's, you know, kind of a meaningless job, you know, a job that many of us may not want to have. And certainly you could replace that street sweeper with any number of jobs that we tend to, you know, just diminish. But there's the story of the street sweeper who does that work and does his sweeping with love and joy and a commitment to doing the best job and giving his best effort to sweeping the street. He's been charged with that. It's got a purpose, and he feels that there's a purpose to it, and he gives his all to it. You know, the old parable goes that person was one of the happiest persons in the world. And you also mentioned, you know, the 5% who may not need to work, or, you know, maybe it's a larger amount, but people who are wealthy or have inheritances, there's plenty of stories of, you know, many of those folks being some of the most unhappy people in the world. You know, one could say that the fact that they're, you know, don't have a work activity is not giving them that opportunity to use their skills fully, to connect with their own passion for doing something well and contributing to something greater than themselves. So just how we approach work with our attention, with our passion, with our caring nature, can make all the difference in how we experience that work.
Ooh, powerful statement. Very, very true. You know, and to contribute, so many of us have such a desire to make a difference and contribute, just like we had talked about at the beginning of the show, something greater than ourselves. And, you know, the quote that you shared, Roberto, I just really respect that quote. Work is love made visible. And, you know, just today, actually, on my Facebook wall, I'm going to tag on to your quote. I put a quote up that says, love will find a way, indifference will find an excuse.
Yeah.
And I think about, if work is love made visible and love will find a way, then there is always an impact that we can make in our workplace. And we can have a healthy view and a healthy relationship with our work if we choose to. And being able to see the opportunities in front of us, to embrace the fact that we have been given a gift of a job, instead of, like you shared, looking on it as a burden or that work is interrupting my life. I've heard that. You know, there are other approaches and perspectives that we can put into practice to really heal from the inside out about our work. And a lot of it does come back, you know, looping it back around to our values and really appreciating work for what it is. And, you know, being passionate about what we do is important to some of us if that's a high value of ours. Being challenged by the work that we do is oftentimes important to many. Being satisfied with the pay grade that we have. Knowing that, wow, there's some room for advancement in this company for me, that my skills and my creativity are going to be honored here. Maybe a small company, but there's room for me to grow. I like that. That could be a huge deal. Some people have an unhealthy view of their work as well because their job is insecure. the company's not doing well financially. There's not enough work. I hear people all the time getting laid off or put on some sort of administrative leave because of the fact that there's just not enough work to go around for everyone. And so, you know, paying attention to these things, honoring those parts of us is super duper important as we think about healing our relationship with work. So, you know, I love it that your business name is Vision Bridge, because I'm all about that too, right? Building bridges and not walls. And there are ways to do that, Roberto, within our work. And you have really allowed us that opportunity to really bring up some important talking points in this area. You know, some people are afraid to talk about this kind of thing. And on my show, we talk about whatever we want. And that's what I love about it. And I really appreciate the fact that you were willing to come on and talk about this whole idea of work-life balance, about self-leadership, about having a more conscious business practice on an everyday basis in order for us to each be authentically ourselves, no matter whether we are at work or in our living room. And that's so incredibly important to have that alignment. So thank you for being willing to share your wisdom and your passions with us here today. And, you know, we are just about at the top of the hour. Roberto, I would really appreciate it if you would share some of your closing thoughts regarding this topic and then share with our listeners how they can get a hold of you. And I just gave you a whole big mouthful. Yeah, I gave you a big mouthful there. I kind of went into all this stuff and then I said, and share your information. So I apologize for my excitement, but it's so fun to think about the opportunities that we have here to really make an impact and help people see their work in a whole new way.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a lot that, and, you know, I can understand the mouthful, and, you know, it comes up every time I talk with people about this, because it's, you know, it's something we don't explore a lot. And once you do start exploring it, there's just so much richness to, you know, how we can look at it and what we can do. So let me give a couple of closing thoughts here, because I know we're up against the clock. So I guess two things I'd like to share before we wrap up is, one, just to, you know, encourage everyone listening, and I remind myself of this daily, is to just take responsibility for our own lives. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, and our listeners probably have too, that, you know, responsibility can be broken apart into two words, response and ability, or the ability to respond. And it's one of those concepts of, if we really cultivated the practice of responding to things in our lives and not reacting, you know, again, taking responsibility for our lives is kind of that inside-out approach that I started with. We have to really know ourselves and know our values, know what's important to us, but also have an ability to slow down, to choose how we're going to respond in a situation, you know, whether it's to a boss or a changing circumstance with work, as opposed to reacting, which is usually oriented from the outside in. Reacting, you could almost see, you know, view it as we're being pulled by that outside circumstance. So that boss or that change in work in a situation is pulling or pushing us, and we're going to be off center in that kind of situation. So, you know, that's the first thing is, you know, take responsibility for our life, you know, cultivate the ability to respond. And one of the ways to do that, and this is the last kind of tidbit I will share, is to take time out for ourselves. Make some time and space where we could be with ourselves, where we could have some quiet and solitude. Turn off that TV sometimes when we feel like we need to veg and, you know, the day is getting to us. Well, what about sitting with our thoughts and contemplating and reflecting on, you know, what are our values, or what values of ours got squashed that day, or, you know, spending more time with nature and and allowing, again, our core and our essence to speak to us about our values and what's important. And then just, again, that whole, you know, activity of taking time and slowing down will get us out of the, even if it's momentary, it's very valuable, but to get us out of the quickened pace that our modern day society has us in. If we're not taking the time out for ourselves, then we are going to be reacting to this quick pace. And so take responsibility for our lives and take some time and space for ourselves. And then finally, I guess I should let that land, but I'm looking at the clock. I'll just let people know that you can find out more about me and my works if you go to my website, which is visionbridge.biz. So that's .biz, visionbridge, all together, one word. Or you can send me an email at roberto@visionbridge.biz.
Wonderful. Thank you, Roberto, so much for sharing that. I love your breakdown of the word responsibility, and I will be chewing on that throughout the rest of my day. And my closing thought is, you know, for those of us listening in, think big. Don't think small. Take some time to really think about what you do and who you are. Do you provide an essential service? Do you get to see a finished project or a product? Do you give the direction that gets things done? And how is my job different because I am doing it? Because nobody else can show up like you do. Nobody else can do the same job that you do. And nobody else can bring the best you to your work except you. Because like I had shared at the beginning, top of the hour, we live our legacy every day. We have the opportunity to impact and make a difference with every life that we touch, every conversation that we have, and everything that we put our hands to. And so we are at the top of the hour. Thank you, Roberto, from the bottom of my heart to the top of my head and the tip of my toes for being here with me on Walk Your Talk with Leanne today. Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
I look forward. Go ahead. Got it? Okay.
Yes.
I look forward to when we can meet again in Santa Fe. I know our Santa Fe friends are meeting this evening. So hi to you, Santa Fe ICF. We hope to see you next month. And again, please reach out to Roberto or I if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments regarding your healthy or healing your relationship with your work. Again, from my heart to yours, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, here on Life Coach Radio Network. Until next time, God bless and be well.
Thank you, Leanne.